The letters Paul wrote while chained to a Roman guard were each addressed to a specific church. In Ephesians, naturally, this letter would be placed in the hands of the elders he left behind in Ephesus. The message Paul was sending, however, was intended to find its way to every church planted in the wake of his three journeys. In fact, the epistle for the Ephesians and all the rest were intended to eventually be received by you, dear reader or listener, right here, right now. In the fourth chapter, Paul writes for us to understand there is only one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. You see, it didn't matter in the first century to which city's church a believer belonged. What mattered most was whether or not he or she believed in Jesus Christ. At the very instance a person recognized their sins, repented, and trusted that Christ was the sole Savior who took away their sins, no matter what those sins were, that person became a part of the church. At that same moment, the individual was called by the Lord for a purpose and given specific instructions. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Once we have been called, and we answer, Christ has an expectation for each of us. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he made some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We, at the very instance of our salvation, are given the Holy Spirit to live inside each of us. With his help, we are to recognize the specific role each of us possesses through God's grace. We are commissioned to operate in our role or calling with two goals in mind. Equip the saints, that is, our fellow believers, for the work of service, and build up the body of Christ, that is, his church. While this is happening, we are part of a larger mission, striving for perfection, manifested in unity of the faith and knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, our Messiah. Do we fully attain this in this lifetime? Likely not. We must be in his presence in order to reach the fullness of Christ. Such is our reward. Jesus himself told us how we can be admitted into the kingdom. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Paul explains what is next for us in the kingdom. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Our presence in the kingdom includes the companionship of the Spirit, who ushers us from childhood to maturity. He provides discernment that elevates us from potential childlike acceptance of false teaching that enables us to separate truth from lies. The objective is always in sight. The growth of the body, that is, His church, for the building up of itself in love. So, what are we individually to do? The answer sounds simple enough. Exactly what God wants you to do, precisely when God wants you to do it, in the manner in which God wants His will done. Active participation in God's sovereign plan is what is asked of each of us. If we do not already have the means to respond, God will provide. Our greatest exercise of free will occurs in two decisions each of us must make. First, if not already done, confession, repentance, and trust in Jesus Christ is absolutely prerequisite. Without Christ, we can proceed no further. Past salvation, the critical juncture involves full acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Without embracing the Spirit, we do not have the vision to know God's purpose for our lives. Without direction from the Spirit, we cannot know God's timing in each task given us. Without guidance by the Spirit, we cannot know how to do what we have been called to do. Full involvement by the Holy Spirit requires our active participation in the form of spiritual discipline every moment of every day. The clear binary choice is stated in unmistakable terms by the author of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, He who is coming will come, and will not delay. But My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. The hard part is summoning courage and discipline through the Spirit. The hardest part is deciding. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.